Hey, it's great having everybody here. Some of us are newer, some of us are older. I don't mean chronological age. I mean been around Crossroads. And you've just popped in on a crazy celebration we're having 3 years ago this month. What was that? Where did that come from there? Crazy African screaming somewhere, I think, is what that was. We embarked on a journey of people who were part of the church at that time committing above and beyond what they regularly give to be a blessing here in the city, build this building, build Kids Club, which we have kids coming in now. Everyone say hello to kids. Hey, kids, with a little glow in the darks. CityLink Vision, crazychurch.com, and we're not asking anything at all today. We're just celebrating what's been happening over the last 3 years because we made three-year commitments, and many people were not yet fulfilled those because it was kind of yet three-year end periods. But that's what this is for when you came in. We don't expect you to digest all this, take this home with you. This is a great thing to take the bathroom with you. Also a great thing to set on your coffee table. This will get your heart beating. Very, very, very cool. And so we're just celebrating and looking back on the things that God has done in our midst and bring us all up to speed with the cool, cool things. And the kids are part of our church. That's why they're going to be in here. I want to invite out the Charity and Faith worship team right now, who we're going to turn the service over to in just a moment. Where they are, they're going to be coming out. And let me say this. I want you today to engage on any level you want to engage on. Do whatever you want to do. Don't do whatever you don't want to do. That's okay. These people got us rocking the last couple services. In fact, I found out that somebody left all mad. Amazing. Someone be mad at Crossroads. That never happens. Someone left all mad because the balconies were bouncing and they thought it was unsafe, and so they left. All the balconies are designed to bounce. They are. That's why they don't fall. They kind of give. Let me tell you about everyone say hello to everybody up here. Yes. Yeah. cool things are happening. They've come all the way from South Africa to be with us because they wanted to celebrate this with us because they've been part of the campaign. They've been praying for us. We've been building into them. They've been building unto us. And so we just planned this thing out a long time ago and said, you got to be here. And so they're here. So 35 or maybe 40 of you guys came from South Africa, right? About that many. And many of them had never been on a plane before. And obviously most of them had never been to America before. And the coolest story I heard was when our folks went to pick you guys up, they were waiting at the airport and, you know, you can't get through security. So you got to wait for people to come down and around, all that stuff. And they heard this murmuring off in the distance, this sort of like chanting and singing. And it got louder and clearer the closer they came. And as they came around the corner, they were doing this like African tribal war worship song. They were all like, oh, I don't know what you were doing. But they had these big signs up that said, go Cincinnati. And they came up and they were just kind of marching around. And as the people described it to me as they were coming and doing their dancing and doing this whole thing, the whole airport just fell silent. So everybody just froze. Like security guards didn't know what to do. They just kind of stood down. They stood down and there was just this thing of something incredible is happening right now. And it was a cool, cool thing. These guys, I'm going to tell them to take us wherever they want to. They connect with God in a very unique way. Sometimes when we in the States see people who express themselves like them, sometimes we think that it's some sort of show. I'll tell you, this is not a show from these folks. This is from their heart. Here in our country, when we have 5% unemployment rate, which is 5% too much, but when we have 5% unemployment rate, we're thinking it's tragedy. They come from a place where it's 50% unemployment rate. In our place, we know that AIDS is a problem, HIV is a problem, but very few of us know somebody who's died firsthand. These folks, all of them could tell you war stories of people who have died. 30% of the people in the region are HIV positive. Some of us have experienced racism. And as bad as that is, it's not quite what they experienced with apartheid, being sequestered off from the rest of the population, not even given the ability to be called citizens, and whites looking down and suppressing them, putting them in temporary housing, what's supposed to be temporary housing, but they still live in it today. They're called the townships. They've been apart, and Titus has told us stories before, the pastor of Charity and Faith, of being in celebrations and dogs being unleashed on them and having dogs munch on his friends and seeing people die right around them. These folks, they've lived through fires, and the joy they have is not because they're looking for their next vacation or they're enjoying their dream house. The joy they have is because they've got something very special with God that I'd like more of myself. I would. And so It's just another normal day at Crossroads. That's all it is. Just a normal, standard, boring service. That's all we're doing. You know, when I used to play football, the coach would take a film and replay the previous week's game, replay previous plays. Sometimes he would even jump back and take a look at different games altogether. And it was so bothersome at the time to be in those sessions. If you've never been in a session like that, he's got this little thing in his hand. It's before the days of VCR, by the way. It's like old tape, which I'm getting old, man. That's not right. But he had this little clicker thing to rewind, stop and automatically rewind the film. And so you'd be watching yourself, you'd be running out to somebody, all of a sudden you stop, and then you go back, this real weird, and you go again. You go, so if you got knocked in your butt, he'd take it forward and backward, forward and backward, forward. Or if you did something good, he'd take it forward and backward, forward, and you'd go, enough, enough, I get it. And he'd go and he'd revisit old stuff, and you just thought, why do we have to keep looking at this old stuff? And the reason was he knew that as a team, we needed to revisit plays, we needed to revisit things in order to get better as a team. And that's what we're doing today as a team. Some of you would say, hey, I'm definitely part of the team at Crossroads. And some of us are new around here, not sure if we are on the team. Don't want to be on the team maybe, but maybe saying, hey, well, I'm just kind of curious what this team is about. So that's what we're going to do today. We're looking at a bunch of old images that we've seen before, hitting the rewind button. We're also talking about things that we've talked about before, because at this juncture, it's critical for us to cement in our minds the learnings that we've had as we chart a course into our future. All of that happened because a number of us, all of us who were part of the church 3 years ago, went through that journey where we said, I'm going to surrender everything. Just recognize that, God, everything I have is yours. I won't put it up on the table. I just want to surrender it all. Just recognize it's all yours. And then listen, God, is there anything on there that you want back? And then if I hear you want something back, I'm just going to do that. You can have that back. And some of us have completed that. Some of us are in the process of completing that. But all of that happens because of the crazy campaign. And all of us, no matter if we're part of it or not, we just got to say, wow, amazing things. Now, four things we've talked about before. I'll probably talk about them again that I just want to cement in our brains of learnings that we've had. One is this. God moves when his people move. God moves when his people move. God doesn't have physical hands. God doesn't have physical legs. God doesn't have a physical checking account. But he has people who are in relationship with him that are his hands, that are his legs, that are his checkbook, that are his love. That's how God moves. And sometimes we think that, man, I just need to like sit down and wait for some great spiritual thoughts and get all this plan and all this stuff. And I'll just wait. And we get this prayer paralysis or spiritual paralysis, waiting for all the answers, all the whole plan. And we don't move anywhere. We've seen that God moves and his people move. And we just need to move with as much as we know. Move with as much as we know. See, it's like a car. If you sit in a car and you try to turn the steering wheel, it's hard, isn't it? It's harder. In fact, then the car doesn't even go anywhere either. But when the car starts to move, it's easier to steer and it can be steered. This is the way it works with God in your life. Just get moving. Get moving on what you know needs to happen, and God will show up along the way and direct you to where you need to go. This is the way it is in your family. Just start doing with your family what you know. Don't worry about the long-term ramifications. That's what happens like when the person you're dating, with the thing you're going to school, you're not going to have everything figured out about what school and what's going to happen in 4 years. Just if you know where you're going to go, just start moving and watch how God directs you. In your business, whatever it is, start moving and allow God to guide you as you move. I had this incredible moment yesterday. The Go Cincinnati. How many of us went to Go Cincinnati? Yeah, it's around 3,000 of us did a love on our city and went and did various projects. The project that I was assigned to was down at Bright Star Baptist Church down in the West End, where the CityLink Center, the building that we have bought with a consortium of other partners, but we bought and owned it free and clear, and now we're in court battles to make sure that we can go forward with it. We won our most recent court case, but there's more to come. And the church I went to, it's a really cool one. Guy, the pastor of it is James Strayhorn. And James was just talking to me yesterday. He was one of the original pastors that was really opposed to the CityLink project when he got a bunch of bad information. And it's really awesome to see how there was some hostility years ago. And now there's just this incredible connection between us as friends and as our churches. And so we came together, and he wanted to have a worship service with some of our folks. So we did that yesterday morning. And then we went out, and he wanted us to pick up a bunch of litter all over the place. So we were doing that. And interacting with people. And then he wanted to do something for me is uncomfortable. And sometimes it's the uncomfortable things that are the best things. Like, I don't think any of us, you know, would have said coming in here, boy, I'm really comfortable jumping up and going like this, you know. But some of us who did, you're sitting right now and you're feeling the blessing of that. You're going, oh, you know, it's a how rare of an opportunity to ever do that. People from South Africa, cool. And you're feeling a little bit of a benefit from that. Well, I'm not a kind of guy who likes to hold hands and pray. I'm not a kind of guy who likes to circle a block and hold hands. But that was his idea. So I said, okay, well, I'm here to serve you if that's what you want. Great. So we kind of went and circled around, and we didn't have enough people to do the whole block. So we thought we'd just kind of go like fingertip to fingertip thing. And then we still couldn't reach. So I think people were spontaneously all around the block recruiting people from the neighborhood. So there was this guy across the, who was across the street, and his name was Michael, and I think he was listening to 50 Cent. And he was thinking to himself, well, someone recruited him, said, hey, come over here. So he said, all right, I'll come. I can listen to 50 Cent anytime, I guess he thought. So he comes over and he's in our thing. And then there's this young woman, and she's got a couple kids, and Michael goes and recruits her. And he's like, come on, we're trying to woo her out of the car. She comes out of the car and she's got three kids. I'm looking at her and she doesn't have a wedding ring on. I'm just surmising that these are, you know, three kids that she's had and she's not married, and we're loving on her, and she's kind of in the chain. We're trying to woo people to have them stop their cars to be a part of this, because a lot of times people are living in places, they're just looking for something different to do. So people are like, okay, I'll do something. Yeah, that's fine. And they're doing that whole thing. And at the end of that, we circled back up in the front of the church, and pastor wanted to have a picture of all of us, so we had that happen. And then we had all the people from South Africa were there. We planned this. It's like we planned this. Well, we did plan it. We planned for them to be here the week of Go Cincinnati, because they wanted to serve our city. They wanted to be here. We planned it the week of this 3-year anniversary. And so they were at this project. And then James said, hey, why don't, if you're from South Africa, everyone come forward. We want to get a picture of you. So they came forward. And then they broke out in this like tribal war dance again. This tribal, it was just a spontaneous worship thing. No one understood what they were saying. They were just doing it in African or whatever language it was. And they were just doing, and there, as they start going, there was just this joy that just started dumping on the place. Cars start slowing down. People are going, what is going on? Rebernacher, sorry. They're just right in the side of the street. They're all like going, and it was amazing. I had to go back. That was the end of the day. I went back to my car, and I was just reflecting on this. And there was a couple guys who were sitting on their stoop, you know, having their morning beverage of choice. And they were just kind of watching this whole scene. We were picked up in front of their house. They didn't really engage that much. And they said, hey, what's going on down there? I said, dude, African music. Go down there. How often do you get to have that? Go. Get down there. And I got inside of my car, and I drove, and I called my wife, and I was tipped off recently that I always tip people off when I'm about to cry by going like this. You know, I go, well, she couldn't see what I was about to do. And I just started losing it on the phone. And she's going, are you crying? Or did you wreck? Because she couldn't hear me anymore. I said, you crying? I said, yeah, yeah. And she's going, is this a sad cry or a happy cry? Well, what is it? I can't get it out. And finally, I get it out. Because what happened, I wasn't expecting to break down like this. What happened for me was the magnitude of the moment just overwhelmed me. I thought, man, 6, 7, 8 years ago when Titus and I first met, the number of things that took place that we would have never planned, had any idea for, we just started moving. We just started moving. And when we move, God moves. And to sit here right now in a city that has major problems, where people are on the other side of the globe, stopping traffic, people feeling the love of God. It just, we didn't ever mastermind this. Just boom, 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 boom. God moves when his people move. When we just move with what we know, one step in front of the other, God moves. And we need to keep doing that. We need to cement this in our minds right now. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The theme verse for the crazy campaign, and still for our church. It says this: if we are out of our mind, it's for the sake of God. And if we are in our right mind, it's for you. For Christ's love compels us. He's getting criticism here because they're doing things that seem to be insane. You must have lost your mind. Well, he said, hey, whether we've lost our mind or whether we are in our mind, whether we're crazy or not crazy, it's because we're compelled by God's love for you. We are people crazy. We're crazy. It's why we call it the crazy campaign. We want to continue to be being crazy, not driven by survival instinct for some religious bureaucracy, but driven to be a blessing to people who we know, people who aren't part of our church, friends of ours who swear at us, and people who are on the other side of the globe, being compelled when God's move is moves as people move. And another thing we've learned is that Crossroads has crazy lovers. Crossroads has crazy lovers. Now, it depends on how you interpret this phrase. We do have crazy lovers. That's why we're going to do a sex series in the fall. There are some crazy lovers like that. But we've learned, and we need to stoke the fires of the crazy lovers in this place. The people that just love God and do crazy, crazy things. We are going to a new phase of our church, and you'll hear about more over the months ahead, and I'll talk about it a little bit in about 10 minutes, but a guy that we've been leaning into, and he's been trying to coach us, we had to figure out how to fund this. And he said, well, do you have any really big givers in your church you can lean into? No. What he meant by that is, do you have anybody who's got, a net worth of 20 million or so who can kind of front you his tithe for a little bit? That's really what he meant. That's a very normal thing in churches our size. And I said, man, I wish we did. It'd be nice. But no. Now, see, people think that there is some phantom fat cat that makes this all happen. It's a bunch of crazy lovers. It's a bunch of normal, average, everyday people. It's a bunch of people who went through the campaign. Some people did stuff that God wanted them to do, not everyone, but did stuff like they're in here right now. You don't have any wedding rings. It's what you had, and you were more excited about giving up some jewelry to bless people than you were having this on your finger. It's about people, crazy lovers, going into college years for their kids and need to ramp up their college savings. But it's a goal they've had. And they said, no, we're not going to do any college savings for a while. We're going to divert that money to the things that God is about right now. We feel that's what God wants us to do. It's about people in here who do have scads of money, and they could have gotten a 20% return on the market or some investment opportunity. And they did do massive gifts, but it went into the kingdom, went into what God is about. And your financial portfolio was like this, and it could be like this. Crazy. Crazy lovers. People did stuff like said, I'm not going to worry about retirement right now. Some people said, I'm going to cash in my retirement. I'm going to do things that are like not have a vacation for a while. Some of us in here, you got the same shoes you've had on for a while. You do. Some of us have driveways that we're still looking to get paved someday. And I'm mowing my driveway right now. It's like, I get so mad at me. I can at least now afford to dump stone on it. But there's just things that happened. Crazy. Crazy. Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 7 says this. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man or woman should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. It says, man, if you want God to get involved in your life, get involved with other people's lives. You sow a lot of seed, you get a lot of fruit. You just want to sow a little seed, you don't get a lot of fruit. And I think it's interesting, this last verse here says, he who supplies seed to the sower, that's God supplying seed to us. And I always oftentimes think of, I want like fruit. I want ripe fruit to be biting into from God. That's what I want. And sometimes God gives that. Sometimes God gives cell phones that go off too in the middle of a thing. God, that's all right. It's all good. But it's interesting. God returns seed. What happens with seed? He returns seed so that we can continue to pour into and plant things that we're not going to see for a while. Plant things that are going to take root later and be lush later on. Third thing we've learned is that God uses churches to change the world. God uses local churches, bands of people, to change the world. The theme verse for our campaign was Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it says this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That was like the locality of Cincinnati they lived in. Judea, the broader region. Samaria, like the state. And the ends of the earth, all the way over in South Africa. And it's interesting. He says, not you as an individual renegade spiritualist. You need to be bonded with people in a church. Whatever that church looks like, doesn't have to mean even necessarily a building like this, but we need that. God says you plural, you are going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my generosity, my hands, my feet, my knees to the area you live in and every single circumference outside of that. And we're doing that right now. Titus is going to come up in a moment and talk about the ways in which we're changing South Africa through us operating as a team. And we're seeing that over and over again. Last summer, I was down in Florida doing my study break, and I went to see a friend, and he took me to like a bar restaurant thing in the Everglades. And I went in, and there were all these cages with alligators and crocodiles and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, inside of these things, crocodiles and alligators. And it was interesting. I noticed that, you know, the bigger the cage was, the bigger the alligator was. And so I thought, oh, they just put the, you know, biggest alligators in the biggest cages and that kind of thing. And I went to sit down inside and went by a little aquarium. There's a little alligator and a little aquarium there. And the guy we knew who was serving our table actually brought the alligator over to our table. And here's a picture of that guy. It's funny, you know, if you showed a little bunny rabbit up there, everyone would go, oh. If you show an alligator, people are like, oh, that's not what I mean. So I'm holding on this alligator, and I said, now, if I take this alligator and you just let him out, he'll get bigger, right? And I said, no, he won't get bigger anymore. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, at a certain point, once he's in the aquarium, his size will be forever dictated by the size of the aquarium that he's in. And like, light bulb went off. Click. Okay, I understand. See, we as a church, we're in a really great aquarium right now. We were in a great aquarium before, it was just smaller. We came into a bigger aquarium and we're in a bigger aquarium. And aquariums are nice. I mean, we all need some place to go that's safe, some place that's a little climate controlled, some place to gather. There's a place for aquariums. But as a church, if we just look for ourselves being in an aquarium, we shouldn't be building bigger and bigger aquariums. We should be regularly encouraging ourselves to get outside of the aquarium so that we can have the full breadth and full muscle that we could have had. That's what we want to do. And so it's why we do things in Cincinnati. It's why we do things in South Africa. It's why we do things in South Asia, try to come against the child sex slave trade. It's why we do these things, not just because God wants us to move in those places, but as we get outside of a great service, we grow in robustness like we never would have before. It's why there's a group of people that are working on a different site of Crossroads, a new aquarium, getting outside this aquarium, planting another site of Crossroads, not a separate church, but an actual different site where we meet in the northern suburbs. And there's others that are being planned around the city as well. Because people are saying, hey, our friends aren't going to drive 40 minutes to a place and then 45 minutes back who don't have a value on church. So we need a place that's right here in our community so we can stay in our community, not escape to some aquarium. And those are things that are going to be continuing to happen. You're going to hear about those things. We're going to continue to push the boundaries on what we think we can do and what we think that we can't do. God uses churches to change the world. And the last thing is that we learn not to take no for an answer. Don't take no for an answer. I was in... Well, you're clapping. I haven't even talked about it yet. That's pretty impressive. Last week, I went to speak at a church. Churches will invite me every once in a while to come and speak to their leaders about giving and stuff when they're in a campaign. And they think I have like some magic voodoo dust or something to make people do. It's like, they don't understand it's a crazy lovers here. And so they don't understand. But I'll go anyway, especially when they'll pay for my wife's plane ticket and also rent us a Harley like they did. So they flew us out and it was in Reno, went to Reno, and then we went over to Lake Tahoe. Beautiful, beautiful. We also had some friends with us, and someone said, you got to go to Sonora Pass. Anyone in here ever hear of Sonora Pass? It's over the Sierra Nevadas. It's apparently beautiful. And we said, okay, we'll go. But on our way there, we heard that it was closed because this time of year, there's still landslides that have happened or snow that's there that they haven't dug out. And we decided to go try anyway because maybe it was open. And somebody said, if you go up, they'll let a bike through. I came to understand later they meant bicycle. So we went up and the gate was closed, but there was a military base right beside the gate. And so we said, I wonder if we snake through this military base, we come out on the other side and get in this road. No, kids, don't try this at home, okay? This is for the preacher's sermon illustration purposes only, okay? Just just kind of go with it on me. So we decided to go to this military base, all kind of guys and fatigues. And the best thing to do when you're going to a military base is just wave and smile, you know, because, you know, you don't want them to be mad at you. So we're just waving and smiling on our bikes. We go to this military base, went down this little dirt road near the military base, hopped up over this little grass berm, bam, on the road. All was good. All was good. A little further down the road, there was another gate up, closed. Another gate closed. And we had about three of these gates we had to go through on this road. Sometimes I had to drive through a little bit of snow to get around it. Sometimes there was also big rocks I could just barely go through. One time there was a cliff on the one side and there's 3 feet and I could snake the bike through between the post and the thing and all, you know, all was good. And I'll tell you what. It was the greatest ride I'd ever been on my life. The greatest ride I've ever been on. The most beautiful scenery, vistas and rock canyons or rock walls you're going by and snow-capped mountains, snow on the side of the road, but still warm. It was the greatest ride I've ever been on. Not just because of scenery, but because no one was in front of us, no one was behind us, no one was coming the other way. We had 70 miles to ourselves. And I'm just reflecting, what would have happened if we take no for an answer? What would have happened if we'd taken no for an answer? See, there's things that people tell you no, that God says yes. There are things that people say no, you can't do, and God says yes. There are people, a person who's a spiritual hero to me, Titus and I were talking about this earlier, who actually said to me, no, you shouldn't start this partnership. There's some stuff that you're not going to be able to control. There's some stuff, all these things. No, you shouldn't do it. A strong counsel against it. But we sense God wanted it. We broke through that gate. And we're experiencing a road that other people are not able to experience because we broke through the fears. People said, no, you can't do any more than 14 million. You're trying to bite off this chunk of all the stuff you want to do. And we said, yeah, well, we'll just see what God does and take people through a spiritual journey. We said no to fears of not doing all the things that we're doing. People said, no, you can't give away your resources for free. You got to charge people. That's the way the world works. And while that does build a strong financial country, we don't believe that's the way to build a strong church. We said we're going to build a website, give away free stuff for free. And you'll see in your little program there, people in Russia all over the world are getting the best of what we have to offer in other churches that we've linked together because of our generosity. We said no. People said no, you can't send 300 people over to South Africa and now 600 people over because you're going to cannibalize all your giving. You got a mortgage to meet. You got all these things. You're going to kill yourself. You can't do it. We said, well, we're going to do it anyway. We sense God wants to do it. We broke through those barriers. People said to us, hey, no, you can't do the CityLink vision. No one understands it. People don't like it. People don't, of course, no one understands anything that's ever been seen before. Of course. No, we're breaking through. We're going forward on that. It's like people said, yo, hospice, hold on. Wait. You can't do something. You don't know anything about building a hospice. You got to have your own construction person over there because those people don't know how to build anything. You got to have your own person. Make sure the money's managed right. And that's all the naysayers. And man, if we had stopped to wait till everything was perfectly figured out, we would have never had people like Hospice of Cincinnati. World-class care facility here in Cincinnati partnering with Bopi Long Hospice, bringing the greatest care to them. We could have never sat down with some strategic plans. Here's all I know. Are you in? They wouldn't have understood it. But man, you got something up and going as crude as it may be or as unfulfilled of its potential as may be. Hey, I'm along with it. See, that's what God does. He said, will you break through the gate of your fears? Will you go someplace where all the average people and below average people don't want to go? Because it's a new place. Start moving, and I'll move you. You should be clapping at that. I'm surprised you didn't, but that's all right. All right, Titus, come on up here, Titus. Where is Titus? Let's welcome Titus, the pastor of Charity and Faith. Let's hear a couple things with us. Man, all right. Titus, we would be remiss if we didn't just get some thoughts from you. Clear perspective. Oh, I should have gotten that for you. I'm sorry. Some clear perspective, some coaching from you, things that you're seeing in us, things that you want to call out. So what are you seeing? What do you want to tell us?
Hi, everybody. It's good to be back. Feels like home, you know. So many people that I know. And what I would like to tell you first and foremost is to say thank you for changing us. And thank you for being part of us. Since we came into partnership, you have enabled us to do what we wouldn't have done without you. And so I wish to applaud you for for your partnership and your contribution to Charity and Faith. Indeed, as I listen to Brian and watching the screen here, you are changing the world. You are making a difference. Just to share a little bit about how you have influenced and impacted our church and our community is that when you came, started coming to South Africa 2-3 years ago, when you started to stay in our homes, most of us, it was the first time to have a white man or white person, stay with black family and spend a night there and eat what we eat. And that has really brought a mind change to say that white people, all white people are not the same. Because coming from apartheid,
we all might look the same to you, but we're not the same.
Of course, yes. But the way we were treated, the way the white people abused and marginalized, and when you guys came and became part of our community, that has really changed our mindset, our hearts, and not only our church, but even the community of Mamelodi. To see you come and volunteer and build houses and build a hospice and do what you guys have done, that has really been a blessing to our church and our community. And so thank you for your partnership and for crazy campaign that we have this. Our hospice is the most beautiful building in the whole township. The most beautiful building. And what you guys have done was to come alongside. You know, remember the story of the eunuch and Philip, where Philip got on the cart and came alongside. The man was reading and Philip just came alongside. And so that's what you guys have done. We had a vision and we were trying to do our best to serve the Lord. But since you guys came alongside, we are able to do what we wouldn't have done or what would have taken us years. We were able to do it in a short period of time. Mm. Thank you for coming alongside. And the thing that makes us proud is that in all that we have, we do. When you come to volunteer to serve us, all of us, we have a sense of ownership. And it's not like you are coming to impose on us and come to dictate, as we had some relationships with, white folks and, people who are, privileged in some other areas where they kind of dominate, control, and don't respect and impose. We don't sense that we appreciate the respect that we get from you guys. And even as we are having the Go Mamelodi come in 5 weeks' time, that all that will be done in Mamelodi is what Charity and Faith wants it to be done. And just to negotiate with Tim and the team here and say, this will help our people and you come alongside. This is different from other relationships that I know with a church of this size in Africa. So we wish to thank you. Your labor, your giving was not in vain. Hmm. Oh yes, was not in vain. The government is being shaken by the work that we are doing at Charity because of your contribution.
Yeah, that is a literal thing. The highest levels of the government, yes. Your church is being noticed in the work that you're doing in that township. And it's actually being a model and perhaps something that could sweep the country as we try to link other churches into similar partnerships.
Yes, in fact, a lot of pastors, a lot of churches, they are coming to me to say, how did you get this partnership right? to be able to bring so many people to come to the township brought by a black church. Usually when missionaries come from America and big preachers come over, it's either the white churches that bring them. When T.D. Jakes come, or Creflo Dollar, or Paula White, or you name them, you know, they're brought by white
people. Those are all popular televangelists for
yes.
Most of our folks who don't know that. So that's cool. Keep going.
Okay. So they are brought by white churches. But this partnership that we have with you guys, it's out of this world. That a black church in a township, yes. And so what is happening is now you guys are becoming a pace setter where churches wants to know how they can build relationships that are lasting. As Brian said, it's over now 7 years or 8 years that we have this relationship. And we've been sowing seeds and now it's bearing fruit. Mm. And to have about, some are coming this week, we'll have in total 40 people that came from South Africa. Yeah. This is the first that I've heard of in the whole country where missionaries are sent from a township to a big city.
Which, and that's one of the reasons why going through customs and all that over there is impossible, because everyone in the country thinks that they're going to skip and not come back. Yes. Because, you know, you don't leave the townships to be a blessing to others and then go back. But that's what you all are doing.
Yes.
Radical. Crazy. You're crazy.
Oh, yeah,
guys,
we
you're
are.
Crazy.
Yes, sir. Well, lastly, I want to leave you with a thought that I thought about it last night. And I felt inspired this morning to communicate it with you. And that is, don't be blind to your blessing. There are so many people who are blessed and yet they are blind to those blessings. They complain. They don't see what the Lord has done for them. They take for granted what they have because they are blinded to their blessing. And as I thought about it, I thought of a story in the Bible of a blind man. For many years, he couldn't see nothing. The family, the relatives, the neighbors helped this man. Either gave him alms, take him to a place where he can ask for money. They led him and all that. And one day he came across Jesus and he opened his eyes. A miracle took place. The whole town knew what Jesus had done. And here's the sad thing. People were blinded to that miracle. You would think they will rejoice. You would think they will praise God and be happy for the man. When we read the Bible, we are told, firstly, that the neighbors were blinded to that miracle. They were happy when he asked for them for money. They were happy when he depended on them. But when the Lord blessed him, they did not rejoice with him. And just like some of our parents, some of our friends, when we were in drugs, when our lives and marriages were in a mess, when the Lord delivered us, some people, because of prejudice, they were not happy with us. They are blinded to that miracle. And again, we are told of the parents who were blinded by fear. After their son's eyes were opened, you would think they would be happy and rejoice. The Pharisees and the people complained to them and they did not rejoice and celebrate that sight, because they were afraid that they will be excommunicated. Fear paralyzed them to see the miracle. And thirdly and lastly, ladies and gentlemen, was the Pharisees who were blinded by religion. You would think they would be happy that this man sees. Their concern was, why did you see on Sabbath? Why were your eyes open on Sabbath day? They were more concerned and blinded by religion. And so many people are blinded by that religion. And thank God for this church. It's God is doing great and mighty things in this place and through this church. But there are those who are blinded by religion. that they don't even see the effectiveness, the lives that have been changed, and the good work that is done by this church because of their religious spirits. But here's the good news. The man whose eyes were open, he was not blinded to his miracle. Oh, I love it. I love that. I love him. When they were accusing, the neighbors were not happy, the parents were almost denying and abandoning him and saying, see what to do with him. The man said, One thing I know, I was blind, but now I can see. He was so grateful and praising the Lord for his miracle. Now, here's a danger for some of you in this church, is that while God is doing this great work, while lives are being changed, while this church is impacting the world, some of you can be blinded. Be right in the house, in the middle of the move of God, and not to see it. And how I pray that all of you, Crossroads family, you will see the miracle. You will see what the Lord is doing through this church, through your giving, through the volunteers, and then give more weight. Get involved, get in the game, and affect more people. So I pray that all of us will see what the Lord is doing. It is marvelous before my sight. Mm. And I've been to a lot of churches, and this is the unique work that God is doing. About 8 years to 9 years ago, when you were still at the school, just a handful of you at the time, and to every year when I came, the Lord took you from strength to strength. The Lord did a great work in your midst. And some people, it's a sad thing. They can still miss it. While the Lord is moving, while things are happening, and not see it. Remember, in Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, the Bible says he could not do mighty miracles in his hometown. Why? Because people were familiar with him. Mm. They even said he's the son of Joseph. We know him. What can he tell us? But when you went to other places, miracles happen. And so I know the Lord is in this place. And it is marvelous before our sight. And so get in the game. And thank you again for being involved in a crazy campaign which has helped us to serve our people. God bless you.
Well, I tell you, yeah. Well, you know, one thing that I want to call out, because some of us may have been blinded to it until now, is we as Americans are very prone to have our security and our worth in our wealth. And so therefore, when we do something that's financially generous, we tend to think that we're sort of the ones that kind of made it happen. And we just want to say, we see that we get way more out of you and your church than you get out of us. You know, we see that we have received way more from you guys than we have given to you. You've given us insights. You've given us a sense of joy, modeled things for us. And all of us want to just thank you and everybody from Omelette who's in here right now, how what you've done for us. Okay, and we're gonna bring out the worship team right now. And as the worship team comes out, you can have a seat. You're gonna stand up just in a moment. We're almost done. But while the worship team comes out, we're going to take a look at the thing that we get even excited more about. And I know Titus agrees with me on this. We get more excited about the lives that are changed in these seats than the lives that we're changing in South Africa. This is our core mission. What's going on in your life here? Starts in Jerusalem or here and spreads out throughout. And one of the things that happens in the Bible is people get baptized. When God gets a hold of their life, they go under the water symbolizing, I'm going to let all my old stuff just drop off me and I'm coming up to new life. And I'm just trusting that God's doing something in me as I do that. And so we had a pretty cool thing where We had a pool up here on the stage a couple weeks ago, and people instantaneously in their clothes came up and got baptized. Many received Jesus for the very first time. And we're going to take a look at that while we have an offering, because they teach in seminary wherever two or more gathered, there is an offering. So we're going to take up an offering right now. And if you want to be generous, awesome. If you don't, that's cool too. No worries. Just let the bag pass you right on by. Last thought I'll share before these guys give us one last song. And by the way, they're doing a concert tonight. Cincinnati Hospice is doing a benefit concert. They're running the concert. They're actually now taking on some of the funding burden themselves to fund the ongoing operations of it. And we're just giving them our building. It's their concert. They're just using our building. And if you want to come back, what time is it tonight?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. If you want to bring any, that's cool tonight. We're going to have you guys next week too, for a little bit. Not an hour and a half service next week. Regular service times. But I had a guy who has really mentored me in a big way. And he said something years ago that I used to live by. He said, people who give big amounts of money every once in a while need to be told that they're not crazy. They need to be told, you know, you're not crazy, because they realize they could have this and they don't have this. And they need to be assured they're not crazy. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're crazy. You are crazy. You are crazy. Let me just say that. There are things that you could have had that you don't have. There are places you could have gone that you haven't gone. There's things that could have accumulated that haven't accumulated. There's security from wealth, and wealth does give security. But there's security from wealth that you could be having that you don't have right now. There's things that there is. And I want to tell you, you are not crazy, but you are crazy. There are people who are in a relationship with God as a result of your craziness. There are fewer people in South Asia, fewer children that are being raped because of your craziness. There are people who have hope and have ability to break cycles because of your craziness. There is an entire continent that is seeing what Charity and Faith is doing, that we're able to come alongside of them, and they're being changed because of your craziness. God, thank you for Titus, every last person here. I don't know how they've had the energy they've had last night and today. They've all lost probably 10 pounds doing all the aerobics they've done. But we're thankful for them. And so as they give us one last song to go out to, I ask that you continue to use them and bind our relationship together. Amen.